The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you alongside producer Jackson Ogden. Final 55 minutes or so of the program here tonight. Wasn't on the program last week. My wife and I had an opportunity to go to Jamaica for the first time. Now, we've kind of turned this into like a every summer kind of tradition. Last year, we went to Costa Rica for a week in July. And 2 years ago, we went to Cancun, Mexico with my best friend and his now wife for their wedding. And so this has kind of become like a yearly thing. We go in a big group of people, including my best friend and his wife. That's kind of how we got ourselves into the group. But if anybody ever has a chance to go to Jamaica, I recommend, highly recommend. It is beautiful. The resort we stayed at was in Montego Bay, and it was like three resorts connected to one another. And so you kind of, you know, there was a little bit of something everywhere, but, you know, of course it was an all-inclusive resort. So we spent a great deal of time in the pool. There were excursions and things we could go do, but we were just kind of enjoying ourselves at the resort and decided not to go. The clearest ocean I have ever seen. I mean, it was unbelievable. We got out there and you can, it's one of those situations where like, and I know there's people out there like, sorry, not to flame my mother, but she's one of those people that like, she doesn't do oceans or lakes or ponds or even rivers for that matter, because if she can't see her feet, if she can't see where she's walking and what's around her, she's out. Like, she wants nothing to do with it. Not a problem in Jamaica. I mean, you walked out there on the beach that we had, the private beach access we had at the resort. It was like 20, 25 feet out into the ocean of just clear blue water. And then it like got very seaweedy down there on the ocean floor. So you couldn't see as much because it was seaweed, but it wasn't like the water was dirty. I mean, we went snorkeling a couple of different times down and you saw some incredible stuff. I mean, these massive sea urchins. And I don't know exactly what species of urchin they were, but they were black and they had these massive spikes on them. Some of them 2-3 feet long, the spikes on these things were. And they were right there in the beach access that we had. It was kind of insane. Crazy thing. I'm sitting there, I'm snorkeling, I'm like swimming around all of a sudden. And I see this fish and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good sized fish. I look a little bit more closely. 4-5 foot long fish. I mean, massive fish. And it's 10 feet in front of me. And so I like pop up out of the water and I yell at a buddy of mine. I'm like, yo, it's a big ass fish over here. And he's like, really? I'm like, dude, this thing's like 4-5 feet long. So he yells at our other buddy who has another, he's snorkeling as well. And he swims over to me. Now this guy is like scuba diving certified. So like he's been in the deep ocean before. So like he can verify how big a fish is. Because when you're in the water, right, it can kind of skew your vision a little bit. It can make things seem maybe a little bit bigger than they are. And he's looking at me under the water, and he gives me, like, one of those, dude, that's a big fish. Like, he's got his arms outstretched, like, out past, he's, like, fully expanding his wingspan, telling me how big this fish is. So we get out, we start swimming around it for a little bit longer. He gets like 2 feet from this fish and tries to like grab its back fin, and it swims a little bit further away from us. And we're like, dude, that was awesome. That was such a big fish. So we start Googling like fish in Jamaica. Like, what kind of fish could it possibly be? It's a barracuda.
Oh,
it's not a safe fish.
Not one that you'd want to be around.
Nope. As soon as we realized it was a barracuda, it was like, yeah, I think we're done snorkeling today. Because, yeah. I mean, it was a big fish, but it was like by itself. I'm like, dude, if this guy gets pissed off and brings a bunch of his buddies back,
wouldn't be great.
This could not go well for us very, very quickly.
I remember I went on a vacation when I was really young, elementary school age, to Mexico, Cancun, and they made everyone get out of the water because there was a barracuda. And I knew what a barracuda was because of Finding Nemo. That's how I knew what it was. So I was like, yeah, we better get out.
Yeah.
We better get out.
Yeah. That was pretty much the end of our day when we realized, oh, that's a barracuda. We saw a couple starfish, and my wife got to hold she held a starfish in her hand, and a couple of the smaller urchins, not the black spiked ones, but just sort of the smaller, more garden variety sea urchins, held a couple of those in our hands. Dead jellyfish corpses everywhere. Everywhere. I saw a couple of live ones, but they were a little bit further out from where we were swimming, thank goodness. Nobody ended up getting stung by a jellyfish, but I mean, it was gorgeous out there, and we enjoyed ourselves so much, and the people that worked at the resort were phenomenal. They put on good shows. The nightlife was good. The restaurants were great. The Mexican restaurant wasn't solid. I'll say that. That's where we ate there like the first night, and it was sort of bleh, I will say. But my favorite part of the whole trip was that a couple of the guys in our vacation group are from Illinois, and they're big Cubs fans. So me and my best friend, who's also from the Kansas City area, we went to college together, and he and I are both Royals fans, obviously, having grown up in the Metro. So we just got to dog on those guys the whole week after the Royals took 2 out of 3 in Wrigley against the Cubs. That was enjoyable. That was a lot of fun.
Especially the way they took 2 out of 3. I mean, game one, the Cubs fell apart.
Yeah.
A couple pass balls in a row. I mean, that was, I don't know what that was from Chicago. Yeah.
And then in game three, where Salvi and Vinny just said, hey, hop on our backs today. We're just going to both have unbelievable days. Just cranking home runs out of the ballpark.
Four separate two-run home runs in that one, including a Tyler Tolbert.
Yeah, Tyler Tolbert bomb. Didn't see that one coming.
Never saw that coming.
Tyler Tolbert hit that bomb, and I was like, Tucker, Tyler Tolbert just hit a two-run home run. And all of a sudden, one of the guys is like, who the hell is Tyler Tolbert? I said, well, he just introduced himself.
If I wasn't watching the game, I would have assumed it was an inside the park home run. I didn't think he could hit it out. To me, he's a Terrence Gore. I really didn't think he had the power to hit it out.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got unbelievable speed, but the pop has not followed Tyler Tolbert around for the bulk of his career. I mean, he's got 27 home runs in the minors. Not bad. He hit 10 home runs in 2023 in 126 games with Northwest Arkansas. He only hit 4 home runs in all of last year. 4 in AA, and he hit none in AAA. And this year, he's got 4 home runs total. He hit 3 home runs in AAA Omaha in 115 plate appearances, and he's got 1 this year. But the guy is incredibly fast. Lest we forget the year he had in 2022 with the Quad City River Bandits in High A. In 116 games, he had 60 stolen bases. He was not thrown out once. 60 stolen bags to 0 caught stealings. He has got lightning quick speed. But yeah, it's how about that?
And then at the major league level, he just gets picked off over and over again. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He has got...
Got to fix that one a little bit.
He's got 11 stolen bases in Kansas City this year in 30 games, which is nuts.
I'll tell you, it was the first one against Cleveland in that doubleheader where bottom of the 10th, he gets picked off a second. And that just can't happen. If you're on this team to run bases, that just cannot happen. So, but he did come through with a hit today. Got good speed. Obviously, the team still values him.
Oh, no question. I mean, having that kind of speed on the base pass, you're right. It's very, very Terrence Gore-like. In a lot of respects, you know, if you get into a playoff series, he's a good guy to have in that situation to be like, hey, we need a big time run here. We don't want Vinny or Salvi or, you know, somebody like that on the base. We don't necessarily, maybe not even Jonathan India, you know, Freddie Fermin, a guy like that, where you're like, we're going to put you in a pinch run here and then we will make a fielding replacement if it's necessary in the bottom of the inning. That's what Terrence Gore was in Kansas City for a long time. He was also, I mean, Jerod Dyson was a little bit that way too, but Dyson could hit and he was a phenomenal fielder. I mean, you look at that trio that the Royals had in their outfield at one point of when they would move Jerod Dyson into the lineup and they would have him in center, they'd put Lo Kane out and right and they would have Gordo in left. That might be as good of an outfield in terms of the glove and fielding ability as there has ever been in the history of Major League Baseball. And the numbers back that up.
It's pretty good. I
maybe
mean,
maybe not as far as to say he's a Jerrod Dyson type. That would be phenomenal.
Gordon and Kane alone in the outfield, I think.
Yeah.
If you hit the ball to the left side, it wasn't dropping.
And there was always kind of a strange revolving door at right field.
Alex Rios was there. Paulo Orlando.
Yep. Hey, shout out Nori Aoki.
Yes.
Shout out to the boy Nori Aoki.
Loved Nori Aoki. I wish he could have gotten a ring here.
That 2014 season, he was awesome.
I love the slap hit, just running at the ball.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, Jamaica was sick. Somebody just said that I went to the wrong side. Negril has the most beautiful sunsets in Jamaica. Oh, interesting. Is that on the... Because Montego Bay is like the northeast end of Jamaica. So is that like on the west side or the south side of Jamaica? Not quite sure. I don't make the decision as to where we go. The leader of our group does that, which is my best friend's father-in-law. He's the one who kind of... We all get behind him and follow suit, but... They like to go somewhere new every year, and they've already started talking about where they want to go next year. I heard like Puerto Vallarta, Panama, Turks and Caicos. We went to Cancun, which is on like the eastern side of Mexico. We've talked about going towards the Pacific side and the western end of Mexico potentially next year, but I don't know. It's one of those things. I find it so fascinating. I always was somebody that like wanted to go on trips like internationally, right? My parents got to go to France this year, France and England. They went on like a Band of Brothers tour. They went to St. Mary Glees. They went to Normandy and all these fascinating places. And I'd love to get like over to Europe at some point and see those things because I'm a bit of a history nerd and I'd love to see some of those locations, right? But my wife, on the other hand, she was always kind of hesitant about it. Like one of those types that was like, I'm not sure I ever want to leave the country, right? Like, I'd go to Hawaii on vacation, but outside of that, not a lot of interest in leaving the greater 48. But 2 years ago, my best friend and his wife got married in Mexico. So we had to go. I'm like, I have to go. I guess you don't have to go with me, but I'm just going to be in another country for 5 days. And so she's like, okay, I'll go. We got the passports and all the things. And 2 years later, we're talking about whether or not we're going to go on this trip to Jamaica this year because, you know, we both have new jobs and we just bought our first house and things start to factor in a little bit. And you're like, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? And she's like, oh, we're going. And I was like, all right, a far cry from the person 2 years ago who didn't want to get the passport to go to Mexico.
The Mexico trip must have really opened her eyes to the rest
she
of the world.
She loves it.
She's got that adventure in her now.
It's
I'll tell you what,
so
man,
much fun for me.
My sister is the biggest travel, like she goes to Indonesia, she'll go anywhere in the world, and I am like, I'm cool in Kansas City. I like it. I'm a homebody, and I always have been that way. I don't mind on going on a trip, you know, in the country, but I've just never been a guy that cares to travel too much,
dude. And the all inclusive makes it so
easy. That is
like,
great.
I don't have to worry about where we're gonna go for dinner, and we've done that before where we like Costa Rica. There was a restaurant like just off the resort we were staying at that the locals just raved about, and some of our group went and ate dinner there one night. So you can go do other things and go on excursions. We did a rainforest tour last year in Costa Rica because like the resort we were at was literally in the base of a valley that was surrounded by mountains and rainforest. There was a volcano like 10 miles from our resort. It was a dormant volcano, but it was still a volcano.
Pretty cool, yeah.
And like stuff like that is just, and just to see what other parts of the world look like, because it looks so different than the United States. And it's fascinating in a lot of respects. And the people in Jamaica were so good. They were so nice. It was just a remarkable place, honestly. I would recommend anybody that wants to leave the country, get that passport, go do those things. I would recommend the all-inclusive because you don't have to worry.
Go all-inclusive.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about meals. You don't have to worry about drinks. You don't have to worry,
the way to go.
It just makes your life so easy. And if it's like, hey, I just want to stay on the resort and hang out in the pool all day.
Have at it.
You've got all the opportunity in the world. If you want to go on an excursion, it's like, hey, you know, we want to take a catamaran around. You know, you can do that. You want to go parasailing or you know, whatever, right? We went snorkeling. Part of our group went paddleboarding. It was awesome. It was really, really a fun trip. Best trip I've had by far.
Sounds like it was a great time.
We enjoyed ourselves. And thankfully, I did not sunburn that bad.
Bring anything back? Any souvenirs?
I did. A couple of them. We found, like, when we were out snorkeling, I found, like, full clams, like, full clams, like unopened clam shells, which I thought was kind of cool. So we packed some of those, waiting on those to begin to stink our house up at this point. I bought like a Jamaica bucket hat.
I bought
like a little beaded bracelet with like the Jamaican colors, that green and yellow, just some small stuff.
Gotta have proof that you did the trip.
And we brought, you know, rocks and shells and like pieces of the coral reef back with us to like give to my niece and nephew. You gotta have some little trinkets to be able to put somewhere eventually that's like, hey kids, this is where we went for this. This is where, you know, this is from Mexico. This is from this place and that place. It's just kind of cool. And then somebody brings up a fair point. You know, somebody says it's all inclusive is literally the worst way to travel. You barely experience any culture different from your day to day. Fair.
It depends what you're going to do. If you're going like on a spring break, I want a drink type trip, all inclusive is the way to go.
Right.
If you're going on, I want to explore this country and go to the different, you know, monuments and stuff, I could see where, yeah, there it would not be the way to go.
And that's fair, right? It depends on your preference, right? I like the idea of the all inclusive in places, you know, like Central and South America and Mexico and Caribbean, where, you know, I go there for the ocean and you go to just sit and relax for a week, right? Like I wouldn't think about an all inclusive if I'm going to England or France or Italy,
Greece,
or Germany,
right.
You know, one of those places. No, I want to go out. I want to stay in hostels. I want to go experience the culture and see these incredibly famous structures and these different things. And I got to experience some cultural differences, right? They had like Jamaican themed shows and things. They did like a Bob Marley tribute show, and we ate Jamaican food almost every day. Jerk chicken is so good. I'd honestly never heard of it before we went to Jamaica, and they're like, everybody's like, hey, what's the food of choice? Like, what's your big dish here? And they're like, oh, it's jerk chicken. God, it was good. And we ate the Jamaican restaurant on the resort was the best food by far. So again, I don't necessarily disagree. It just kind of is what your preference is. Like if you're just looking to relax for a week and you don't have plans and you don't want to go do things, I would recommend all inclusive. But if you want to go see the sights and experience the sights and sounds of a different culture and things like that, then absolutely not. Do not do the all inclusive ever. If that's what you're looking for, right? Just kind of, again, it's all about what you personally want to experience on your trip. You just want to sit and do nothing? All inclusive, that's the way to go. 913-586-7965 is our number. While we were on vacation, my phone broke. Apparently, my phone overheated and the battery expanded and like popped the back of my phone out and my phone stopped working. I had a landline. The only way my phone worked was if it was plugged in. So I had to use our iPad for three. So I was walking through the airport in Jamaica and in Miami on our flight back like a full-blown 8-year-old iPad kid. Just this big iPad. My wife has a beautiful pink case on our iPad, which I'm sure looked phenomenal as I'm walking through Miami International. But I was able to download and watch Happy Gilmore 2 on the way back. And I kind of want to discuss the film.
Let's talk about it. I watched it too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Did you like it? Did you not like it? We'll give our opinions. Feel free to share yours as well. 913-586-7965 is our text line number. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Logan Weber, Jackson Ogden, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports 96.5, The Fan.
All right. Let's discuss Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore 2, to be exact.
It is that time.
On our flight back from Jamaica Saturday and unfortunately into Sunday morning because our flight from Miami to Kansas City got delayed, we were supposed to land in Kansas City Saturday night at 11:15. We ended up landing in Kansas City at about 2:30 in the morning, but we made it home. It was fine. But on the flight, I watched Happy Gilmore 2. And I have some thoughts. First thought, funny movie. You know, all in all, it was okay, right? Not the best comedy I've ever seen. Certainly not the worst comedy I've ever seen. I think they did a good job of throwing in some old with some new, right? I love the fact that they brought, you know, Shooter McGavin back, and they brought Hal L back with Ben Stiller's character. You know, the Julie Bowen thing was nuts. Like, he just killed his wife with a golf ball 10 minutes into the movie. That was a wild one. That was a strange one to kind of wrap your head around, I will say. But I loved the, and this has kind of become the norm with movies nowadays, like, even 15 or 20 years ago, cameos, you'd see them every once in a while, but nowadays, I mean, cameos are playing such a major role in movies. It's unbelievable. And sometimes, and even in this movie, right, at times the cameos became a little bit oversaturated. But I think that they did a great job of including golfers with it, right? It's a golf movie, and you don't see that a lot. Golf is not a sport where you see a lot of golfers included in their films, right? I mean, like, think about, like, basketball movies, right? Space Jam and Like Mike and movies of that nature, right, where you saw NBA players embedded within those films. With the NFL, right, with football, and you watched movies like or like Any Given Sunday, for example, right? Or The Longest Yard, and you would see Lawrence Taylor or Michael Irvin, or, you know, characters like actual NFL football players in those movies. Baseball, you would see actual MLB players included in these, but golf had never had anything like that. And there's a certain amount of fear that comes with having athletes in movies like this, because athletes don't always make great actors, right? But I really, really enjoyed the film, right? I mean, I will say, like, Rory was not a strong actor in this film. The acting chops for Rory were not great. But, like, the whole Scottie Scheffler thing, right, where he's asking Happy about why in hockey games they pull the tarp, right? They pull the shirt over the guy's shoulders, and Happy's like, well, it prevents them from being able to punch back. It traps their arms. And then he does it, right, to that guy when they're playing the Maxi League, and the cops show up and they're going to arrest Scotty, and Scotty just goes, oh no, not again. And the cop's like, turn around, put your hands behind your back. Scotty goes, I know the deal. I know the drill. And then, like, at the end of the movie, right, there's, like, that little cut scene during the credits where they're like, Scotty, do you want out? You've been in here for 3 days. And he's like, well, what's for dinner tonight? And they're like, chicken strips. And he goes, nah, I'll stay one more night. Right? Like, Scotty playing into that was great. Having that kind of a sense of humor behind it. For Will Zalatoris, who has heard for years the jokes about how he looks like Happy's caddy in the original movie, for them to lean into that and play it up as, like, Will Zalatoris was Happy's caddy in the original film, and, you know, to have that kind of back, and then that moment where Will starts choking out his caddy, and Happy's like, see, that's how it feels. And that sort of stuff was funny. I really liked the ability to, like, include golfers in the film, right? And, you know, of course, us here in Kansas City, right? Our boy T. Kells is in the movie. Unfortunately, Travis, not a good guy in the movie. He really went after the boy Bad Bunny like that. And give Bad Bunny some credit. His character might have been my favorite character in the whole movie. I mean, he was absolutely hysterical in that film. And to include, you know, Marcelo from Saturday Night Live, there were a lot of cameos in this movie, and it got a little bit oversaturated in certain parts, but I thought that they did a good job of including professional golfers in the PGA and giving them a little bit of that, you know, spotlight that they don't normally get in a sport like golf. All in all, I thought it was a fun movie, right? It's not going to go on my Mount Rushmore of comedy movies by any means. It's not going to go on my Mount Rushmore of Adam Sandler movies by any means. But it was a good movie, right? It's not going to win an Oscar. It was never going to. It was supposed to be a funny slapstick golf comedy, and that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I basically just echo everything you said. There's really nothing I can add on top of that. I would say maybe the celebrity cameo they went a little overkill with. They could have maybe toned it down a tad. But I liked, like you said, I liked the golfer aspect of it. I just think some of the other ones, some of the big celebrities, we could have done with less.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody, and I didn't even mention his character, like John Daly's character in that movie. That's funny, right? And there's certain guys that Sandler's going to throw in, right? He threw in some guys from the original Happy Gilmore, right? I mean, I understood that they were going to do something along the lines of, like, you know, having a guy that was going to be Jackass, like from the first movie. I didn't expect it to be Eminem necessarily. That was kind of a weird cameo.
That was very weird. That was really weird.
But but there's always guys that Sandler puts in his movies, right? Like his wife in the movie, which is what he always does. And having that girl that he's in the AA meetings with, you know, that's his daughter. That's super cool, right? To include your family in a project like that. It was enjoyable, right? And to have Buscemi in the movie, Steve Buscemi, who he's had in so many of his projects over the years. He always does. He brings his friends along for the ride is what he does. And it was, all in all, I thought it was a fun movie. You know, as somebody said, one of the funniest things is that the Maxi League is parenting live golf. Oh yeah. That's sort of like live golf. And the fact that they got Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau to be on the PGA Tour side while DeChambeau was wearing his Crusher shirt. Yeah, fair point. And, you know, the scene where they're like yapping back and forth and Rory says something and the girl walks up and gives him, you know, the purple nurple, and Bryson's like, hey, don't touch my boys. You know, that's stuff like that was funny. And yeah, Scheffler, when they're doing the putting thing up on the pool table, and he's Scheffler, you know, with the Shooter McGavin thing. It's funny, man. It was a funny movie. It was good. I enjoyed it. And you could tell that the people on set enjoyed it, right? I mean, you've seen behind the scenes videos. The PGA guys loved being able to do that, right? And to get so many of those big name golfers involved in the project was good. And you're saying somehow it, I don't know if it started something, but like, there's a show on Apple called Stick with Owen Wilson, where he's like a former golf pro who had this like midlife crisis. You know, I had this breaking point, this meltdown after his young child had died, and he kind of like ends up completely out of golf, and he finds this golf savant as this 17-year-old, and they had actual PGA Tour golfers in that project as well. Like Colin Morikawa was in the show, which I thought was kind of cool. And again, something that you didn't see from golf 15, 20 years ago. Like, did we see Tiger Woods in a lot of movies or TV shows at the height of his career, or, you know, Phil? No. And it's cool to see that in the sport of golf. And it's cool to see those guys have fun and just do something that isn't, yeah, it was golf related, obviously, but you got to see a different side of those guys, because golf is seen as such a serious sport. It was nice to see just go have fun. Just do something outside your comfort zone, and they did a good job. It was a funny movie. 913-586-7965. Somebody said Kelsey was good at acting. Yeah, he wasn't bad in the movie.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, the part where it's like the, you know, go to your happy place, and it's the whole bear scene, yeah, with the honey. Yeah. He did a good job with that.
He played into that really well.
He did. Another person says Kelsey looked so hot, in parentheses, I'm a guy, by the way. Okay.
Hey.
He's a good looking dude. Can't argue with
it. There's a reason he's dating Taylor Swift.
I mean, you can't argue with that.
You really can't.
I mean, I'm not going to judge anybody for pointing out when a handsome man is a handsome man. Travis Kelce is a good-looking dude.
Not just anybody's getting Taylor Swift to go out with him, you know?
Nope, not at all. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. I talked about my vacation. I talked about Happy Gilmore 2. I want to talk to you, Jackson, as well as our listeners, because I have downloaded College Football 26, but I haven't really played it yet. I know you have, and I know you have some thoughts, and I want to hear them before I get into the weeds of this thing and start diving into College Football 26 with college football rapidly approaching. I mean, we are 24 days from the start of the college football season.
K-State and Iowa State in Ireland, right?
That's correct.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just week one alone, I know that's week zero, but week one, Texas, Ohio State, what a start, what a bang, what a way to get it going.
Yeah, just a national championship game.
Oh my
game.
Gosh, I just cannot wait to get to that.
Not a national championship. Potential.
It could be a preview of the Natty.
Potential national championship game.
It really could be.
For
two
sure.
Great teams.
Oh, no question
Arch
about it.
Finally taking over as starter.
We shall see. After Hours here on 96.5, The Fan, Logan Weber, Jackson Ogden, your home for Kansas City sports. Stay tuned.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, Jackson. I want to hear about your thoughts, as well as the thoughts of our listeners, on College Football 25 here in just a second. We may push it off here into our final segment of the show tonight. Because Shohei Ohtani was pulled from his start today. Apparently, in the fourth inning of his start tonight against the Cincinnati Reds, he was pulled off the mound after dealing with cramping in his lower half. So that's the official announcement. He was pulled like 20, 30 minutes ago, but wasn't any real rhyme or reason to it. He threw six consecutive balls in a row. Very uncharacteristic of a pitcher of Shohei Ohtani's caliber. So the trainer went out, and there was a small mound conference, and then eventually he left the game with the trainer, went back to the dugout and into the clubhouse. And so, you know, there was a lot of conversation about, well, what does it look like for Shohei Ohtani? Sounds like he was just dealing with some cramps. It was the seventh start of the year for Ohtani after he came back from Tommy John surgery, which happened not quite two seasons ago, close to it, during the 2023 season, his last with the Angels. Didn't pitch at all last year. So he is in the midst of the second year of his career, with the Dodgers anyway, part of that $700 million contract, of which some, I don't know, $700 million of it is being deferred somehow. He's still having a remarkable year. He's still probably the favorite to win the National League MVP award. I mean, even despite the fact that he's not doing a ton of pitching, he is tops in the National League and second in all of baseball in home runs with 38. He's hitting .272 with 73 RBIs. Really, I mean, Kyle Schwarber, there could be a conversation surrounding him, but Schwarber's only hitting .253 this year. And what's insane, he's got 101 hits, does Kyle Schwarber. 37 of them are home runs. Over a third of his hits this year are home runs.
If he gets to 500, the Hall of Fame debate's going to be wild with Kyle Schwarber.
Do what? Like, who? A third of the time that you're getting a knock, it's leaving the yard?
Just look at his Phillies years. I think the worst year he's had, he's hit 37 there.
Yeah.
Unless he played there during COVID, which was a shortened season. But I think the worst year he's had in Philly, power-wise, was 37 home runs. Just ridiculous.
You want to hear something even crazier than that?
Give it to me.
Cal Raleigh has 41 home runs on 102 hits.
Oh, my God.
So 40% of Cal Raleigh's hits, roughly, long balls.
We've never seen a season at the plate from a catcher hitting like this. It's never happened.
No. No, and the question immediately like shifts to, you know, with Judge going on the injured list,
yeah,
does Cal Raleigh become the favorite for home run?
If he keeps
for the MVP,
if he keeps us up, how is he not? It depends when Judge comes back. I mean, if Judge was fully healthy, I mean, Judge was on pace to have one of the greatest seasons of all time. He was hitting like 400 in the middle of June.
Yeah, on the year he's hitting .342, 37 homers, 85 RBIs. He's got an OPS up over 1,100 and an on-base percentage of .450.
I mean, these are video game numbers. And for the non-steroid era to be doing what Judge is doing, I don't know if we've ever seen it.
No. I mean, I think that's incredibly fair to say.
He might be the best power-hitting right-handed hitter ever.
Yeah, and I mean, they put him on the 10-day IL over the weekend, or I should on either Sunday or Monday, because of he had some small injury, like an flexor strain or some sort of like elbow kind of injury. There was a fear that it might be a UCL injury and that he might require Tommy John, but that's not the case. So, I mean, a 10-day IL stint certainly doesn't kill his MVP chances, not with the way that he's played, but if Cal Raleigh continues to hit the cover off the baseball, and if he surpasses Salvador Perez's 48 home runs that he hit back in 2021, and, you know, if he eclipses 50 for a primary catcher, I think that there's a conversation to be had. But, I mean, Judge is just on another planet right now. A 6.6 WAR, which is the second is the highest in baseball. Second is Pete Crow Armstrong with the Cubbies, and then Raleigh is third with a 5.43. He is the only player in baseball with an OPS over 1,000. He's got and his OPS is 1160. Shohei Ohtani has the second best OPS in baseball at a 989. So an OPS that is over 150 points better than the guy in second. Jesus.
It's all-time stuff.
I'm not an Aaron Judge guy.
Oh, I hate the Yankees. I absolutely despise them.
Do not like Aaron Judge.
He's a unicorn.
He's unbelievable.
It's hard to hate on greatness.
Bobby Witt Jr. should have won the MVP last year had it not been the fact
99% of seasons last year's Bobby Witt Jr. season is MVP. I mean, he had a WAR like 9.5, almost 10.
Yeah, 9.4.
Hit 330, had 30 homers. I mean, he was one of the best shortstop seasons ever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even close. No. Judge won in a landslide. That's how historic we're talking.
He had the second best WAR in baseball last year, higher than Shohei Ohtani, 9.4. It's just Aaron Judge had a 10.8 WAR and an OPS of 1159 with a 322 batting average, 58 homers, 144 RBIs, and a 458 on base percentage.
I mean, you're looking at possibly the greatest right-handed hitter ever. It's possible. By the time he hangs up the cleats, it is very possible we will call him the GOAT out of all right-handed hitters.
The conversation exists. I mean,
it should.
He's the best player. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I mean,
I don't know. What were you going to say?
I can't ignore what Shohei's doing, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe not pure from a pure right-handed hitting standpoint. Yes, the argument exists for Aaron Judge. I'm still incredibly partial, and maybe it's just the childhood nostalgia thing. Mike Trout, at the height of his powers, was as good a player as you'll ever see in this game.
I think he's top 10 all time.
I mean, his ability to hit for power, his speed along the base paths, his arm strength, his fielding ability. I mean, the guy was unbelievable.
It's just such a shame how dinged up he's been. Yeah, the guy, his career.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he hasn't had a healthy season of Major League Baseball since 2019, arguably.
And the other thing is Shohei and these other stars have gotten to be in the playoffs in the World Series. Mike Trout's made the playoffs once, and they got swept by our Kansas City Royals.
Correct.
Haven't made it back since. It's been 11 years. And that was kind of a surprise. I know we don't have a ton of time to talk about it, but the Angels were buyers today. They went out and got a couple of relievers. Didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. They've had a much better year than I anticipated.
I thought they were a 100-loss team.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be awful.
I thought, like, Rockies, White Sox, Angels. Those are going to be the three worst teams in the sport.
Agreed.
Not the case. The Angels have been a little bit better
than expected. Angels are in the race.
913-586-7965 is our number. We'll come back, wrap up the show. I want to hear Jackson tell me about College Football 26, because I have yet to play it extensively to this point, and I want to hear from the horse's mouth, somebody who has experienced the game to a good extent, what your thoughts on it are. We'll talk about that next. Logan Weber, alongside our producer Jackson Ogden, you're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Closing out our program here tonight, After Hours, here on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Logan Weber alongside our producer tonight, Jackson Ogden. And Jackson, we've mentioned it a few times throughout the show. I'm a big video game guy, as you are. When we got back from vacation, bought, downloaded College Football 26. And I've done a few of like the practice setups, you know, the practice setting, just trying to figure out the mechanics and get a feel for the game a little bit and see what's different than last year. But I haven't really played the game all that much. We've got about 3-4 minutes here before the show closes out. What do you think? Like, do you like the game thus far? Because I'm hearing conflicting reports from people. I'm hearing some people really like the game and they really like the changes. Other people that are a little bit more disappointed in the gameplay this year versus last year.
Well, let me start with the positives and improvements from 25 to 26, in my opinion. One of the big improvements, in my opinion, is when you're on the main menu, there's a ton more songs now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one song over and over and over again. It's Better Now by Post Malone. It's a bar song by, you know, God, I'm blanking on it, Shaboozy.
Yep.
You know, and it's like the bands are
and
playing.
Fight, yeah, and it, and fight songs
I really
from different
liked
schools.
That. Yeah, I really liked that they did that.
Versus that same monotonous one song by that drum line that
right,
played
that
on repeat.
Got
that everybody,
so repetitive.
Everybody eventually went into their settings and turned off the music volume.
You couldn't take it anymore.
No.
I will say Road to Glory, if you like playing that, you like playing, I'm a quarterback, you know, you can be a running back, you can be whatever you want. I like it because they've added high school now. You can start out there. You get to pick if you want to be that five-star guy or that one-star, you know, underdog guy. And then you really have to work. You don't just get handed the job wherever, whichever school you go to, which I think is a lot more fun than what they did last year. And there's more interactive stuff you can do that I think they just made it more fun in that aspect. As for the gameplay, play action's broken. You have 0 seconds to throw if you do play action.
Which was a problem last year and apparently didn't get fixed.
It has to be fixed going forward. You have no time to throw. I don't play on Heisman. I'm not that good. I play on, I believe it's All-American is the most. I have less than 3 seconds every time I drop back. And that's just not fun for, you know, a playing experience. So that would be my biggest gripe with it. But I think they made some improvements from last year. And it's also cool, last thing I'll say in my ramble here, to have real coaches in the game. That has been a cool thing. If you want to go over and take a program over, you can be Elijah Drinkwitz now at Missouri. You can be Lance Leipold at Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, the authenticity of the game, I think, is better than it was a year ago. And, like, in the small things that I was able to do, like the tackling mechanics and, the, like, the physics-based tackling that's in the game this year is different and, I believe, better than last year. I'm very interested in like the recruiting side. Cause I'm a big dynasty guy, right? I always have my dynasty with Iowa, which unfortunately Kirk Ferentz is one of the coaches who opted out of being in College Football 26, which is to be expected. Kirk's an older guy, right? He is the dean of coaches in college football. I didn't expect him to just like throw his name into this video game. Unfortunately, Iowa's offensive and defensive coordinators are in the game, just not Kirk Ferentz, but that's beside the point. They've made so many, and I've watched the videos, and they've really revamped recruiting in a lot of different ways, right? More players are entering the transfer portal, which is much more in line with the college football world today. And I absolutely am, I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to what that's going to end up looking like.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.